I want you to just think of three spaces. And when we think of Good Friday, we so often define why it's Friday, why it's good. And bringing our sin and our sorrows up to Jesus and seeing how Jesus meets those. But sometimes we need to shift our point of view. Sometimes we need to imagine other things. Imagine, ponder, meditate, reflect on, and consider what it might be like. And what I want you to imagine, to consider, to do, to put yourself in these shoes, and it'd be the shoes of this itinerant preacher from Galilee, roaming through Nazareth, from Nazareth roaming through Galilee. Luke 23, the first scene is this. Luke 23, verse 32 says, two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders were scoffing. He, this is what they said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Jesus. They came offering him sour wine and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there's a sign also saying something about him. An inscription was above him: "This is the King of the Jews." Verse 39 of Luke 23. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him: "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly, because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." What is Jesus seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling? Not necessarily what you are coming in with, your thoughts and your feelings, but to put yourself in his shoes, and in this moment, he's credited as a criminal, posted up between two criminals. So what he's saying is, "You're a criminal, you're a criminal, you're a criminal. This is why you'll be crucified. Look at your people just like you. We'll crucify them beside you." And he's hearing, "Save yourself," from so many different places. Not just one person saying, hey, come on, man. You thought you were big and mighty. Save. No, we've got the religious leaders. We've got the Roman soldiers. We've got other people that are just seeing this, saying, "You said Wasn't your whole thing about the kingdom and how you're going to save us and usher in the kingdom and bring us in the kingdom, but you're dying? This is what he's hearing. Can you imagine what he's seeing? Like, if you were in my shoes right now, you'd be seeing you in a dark room looking at me up to the eighth row. And then I don't know who's there. Can you imagine if you're in Jesus? What is he seeing? As he's between these two criminals, as he's hearing what they're saying back and forth, as he's seeing people's ghastly faces. Why? Because they're seeing what's happening to him. Have you ever been so embarrassed and then you see other people and how they're embarrassed for you as they see you? What else is he seeing and hearing? Was he thinking? The wildest part is we do get an insight of what he's thinking, what he's feeling. And the only thing that God chooses to tell us here in Luke is he's thinking they don't understand what's happening. They don't really get this. Father, forgive them. Some of you guys get the embarrassed part of being so embarrassed and seeing people's face, but do you get the idea of being ridiculed, mocked, sinned against in the most horrific way in your life possible, and in that moment you were forgiving that person in your heart? And then I know the other thing he's seeing in this scene is the fork in the road between the two people, the two groups of people. You've got a group that is disbelieving and mocking. That's a large group. Most of it. That's what he's seeing. What he's seeing is the people he came to die and to save. He came to die for and save. They are mocking him, have turned against him, including many of the folks that have followed him for 2 years. At times were like, yes, this is the one. Then he said something weird like, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, no, it's too much. You're going to have to die daily and pick up a cross like I'm going to pick up one and follow me. No, too much. And the two groups here are disbelieve and mock, or believe and trust, and that's what he sees. He sees this group of people that haven't abandoned, that haven't run away, mostly ladies that are sitting there still watching and seeing what's happening, still believing, still trusting. And then the second scene, see in verse 44. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, this man really was righteous. All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home, striking their chest. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. He's on the cross at noon. And now what he's seeing is the crowds are still there. There's still people ridiculing and mocking him. But now it's darkness because the sun's light has failed. And from the brightest part of the day is actually the darkest part of the day. As he hangs, struggling to breathe. In the worst pain of his life, because the word crucifixion literally comes from pain from the cross. Invented by the most barbaric nation at the time to extinguish the most barbaric rebels at the time. Credited as a criminal, now in darkness. What is he thinking? What is he feeling? Again, there's speculation there, but what does it say? What does it say? What does it say? What does it say? It says, in first place, while he's hanging, he's looking at the people that are killing him and mocking him, and he's saying to his Father, forgive them because they don't understand what they're doing. Now he's on the cross, dying, can't breathe, struggling with all his body and his back scratching the cross. He's trying to get anything he can in his lungs so he can continue to breathe. That's what's like on a cross. And in this, what he's thinking about and what he's considering, and he's still communing with the Father, is what's happening. And now he says, Father, I entrust my spirit to you. Meaning, I entrust my life, the salvation of all these people. They're saying, I can't save myself, so I can't save them. I am trusting that this is your plan. I'm trusting my life to you. I'm trusting that I'm going to die, be buried, and you're going to vindicate me on the third day. I entrust my spirit to you. And in that, he breathes his last. And then you've got the options where you had the criminal here saying, no, 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 no. You can't do this. And the other one say, do you not have any sense of what's happening? We're dying because what we did. He is not here for what he did. He's done nothing. And then now you've got the Roman centurion saying, because of what he's witnessed, he says Jesus is truly, really righteous. But then some beat their chest and go home. It could mean a few things, but it could mean like, Ichabod, this is, God has left us. It could just be a sign of grief and mourning over what has happened, which would make sense. It could be a sign of, we agree, this was good. But then others are standing at a distance watching these things. So the options there, the categories there, the people responding to Jesus there are glorifying him like the centurion, walking away with no real care or real response, and then standing and keeping watch, continuing to watch. The ladies continue to watch to see it. Jesus was looking at us, now we're looking at him. We're going to see if what he said is going to happen. We're going to keep watching. And then you've got the third scene. Verse 50. There was a good and righteous man named Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, who had not agreed with their plan and action. He was from Arimathea, a Judean town, and was looking forward to the kingdom of God. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in fine linen and placed in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever been placed. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So credited as a criminal on the cross, and then on the cross he dies. And so what is he seeing? What is he feeling? What is he hearing? What is he thinking? Nothing. Nothing. That's the point. He's dead. And so another person comes along and says, I want to take care of his body. I want to honor his body. I want to honor him. And then the ladies that were watching, they're going to do the same. We're going to honor him. It's the Sabbath day, so we're going to honor the Father and rest. But on Sunday, we're going to come back and we're going to put perfume and spices on his dead body like we would when people die. Because in this day and age, this is what we do for the smell, for the reality of decomposition. He feels nothing, he sees nothing, he hears nothing. There's a finality at graveside services. If you've ever been at one where it's actually lowered down and you're able to place something on top, or you're able to throw dirt on top when the casket has been fully dropped to the bottom. And there's a finality here of a grave carved into the rock. Jesus' body placed, a massive stone rolled in front of it so that it is sealed. He's dead. It's dark. I so often talk about the why of this. I want you to think about his perspective, but I will come back to the why. So kids, if you're with me, thinking about Jesus is credited as a criminal, then dying, and then being buried, and everyone else, I wasn't just speaking to the kids, I want you to think about why. And the best way I can think about this is if a boulder of consequences, a massive rock, kids, of consequences and punishment was coming down a rocky hill, barreling at you, going to crush you, and at the last second when you look back and you know you're going to be squashed, obliterated, ruined by this boulder, this massive rock, Jesus steps in front of it and it crushes him, but at the same time he crushes it, and now it's no longer there. That's why. That all that is coming for you, for your choices, your wrong thoughts, your wrong loves, your disobedience, your rebellion, the truth is, why? We're one of the two thieves. And in reality, you've got the option. Am I going to continue to mock this person? Or am I going to trust that he's taking what I deserved and he did nothing? He really, really, really is righteous. Lord, have mercy. Spirit, as we consider that, the why, but really before that, the perspective, the point of view, placing ourselves in the shoes of Jesus. May you woo our hearts. That we wouldn't run away from feeling the weight of this moment, even just the weight of talking about death. As we respond to this tonight, I showed you the few options in the text. Just, they're there. You do have options. But the ones with joy on their face at the end are the ones that chose to glorify Him. Ask Him to save them and bring them into His kingdom. It's the ones that have believed and trusted, that have said, yes, He really did this for me. He stepped in front of the boulder for me. And I can't really do anything with that boulder. I can keep running as long as I can, but it's going to catch up to me. And then, this is news. And if there's any news like this that you hear, it's news that always has a reaction to it. It's as if, it's news like if someone told you your shirt's unbuttoned. There's a reaction every time. There's a response. The news that Christ was credited criminal in your place, died in your place, and was buried to kill your sin and put death to death and to crush the head of that nasty serpent, the devil. Let's respond.